Last week, we have been looking at this, the thought of the hand of God, the work of his hand in relation to creation. And we've looked at the naturalism view that the world began through a natural process and that there is no personal creator. And with no personal creator, there is no accountability. But we also learned that it really comes down to two worldviews. It is a world that has decided that they would have no God in their life. They've rejected the God of the Bible. And so last week we looked at the foundation for a theistic view. The foundation for a theistic view is not science. It's faith. It's faith in the Word of God. Faith is the substance, the Bible says, of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And so we believe that God created all things by faith. We trusted by faith. And then we looked at number two, the God of the beginning. And we looked at the very beginning in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We compared it with John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And we learned from John chapter 1 that the Bible is speaking here of Elohim, the personal God, the covenant-keeping God, the all-powerful God. And as the Bible teaches us in the New Testament, that Jesus is the creator of all things. And we looked at the presentation of the Savior, that Jesus is eternally God and equally God, and that he is essentially God. And we looked at the Bible, that he is the creator and the sustainer of all things, that he has come to this world to give us life and to give us light. And so that he is the very foundation for where we stand. And we're going to look at this evening, number three in your notes there, and that is the created world. This is still part one of our series, and we're looking at number three there, the created world. The Bible says this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the water, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word and its truth for our life. And I pray, Lord, you would help us. Lord, that our faith would grow. Lord, I pray you would help us to have more confidence in your word as we go through the study together. And I pray that you'd be glorified. I pray that we would seek higher ground in our spiritual life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the things that is attacked with, we talk about the battle for the beginning, is the idea that this world was created in six literal days. Of course, the seventh day, God rested. And there are several theories when it comes to, outside of the biblical view, of course, there are several theories that try to incorporate the Bible with science. A young earth is rejected by most scientists and even theologians in our world today, which is very sad. In fact, if you jump onto Google and you Google how old is the earth, then it's probably going to tell you about 4.5 to 4.8 billion years old, when the earth is probably around 6,000 years old. Of course, that's give or take. But the Bible teaches us a young earth, and most try to harmonize the biblical account with modern science. And so, you know, they look at the fossil records and carbon dating, and they try to harmonize. They bring it all together, and what happens is these various theories are created. And one of the most popular theories that we hear in our world today, and you may have heard of this, and Maybe you are dealing with this now, talking to friends or coworkers or such, is the idea of a gap theory. And the gap theory teaches, or what they would say, is between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, that there's actually two creations, that God created Genesis 1:1, and then God created again in Genesis 1:2, that the earth, and in fact, they would say that the earth became without form and void, and not that, as the Bible says, not was without form and void, that it became that way, and so then God had to go through the days of creation and do it all over again. Now, this theory came about from Scofield's reference notes. Now, I want to emphasize this. Your reference notes is not inspired of God. They are notes from a man that they add. These are their own personal notes. The Bible itself is the inspired word of God. Notes are not inspired. And so Scofield introduced this idea of the gap theory. Now, the problem with the gap theory is it doesn't make sense because death didn't enter into the world until Adam and Eve sinned against God. And so how could these fossils be millions and billions of years old when death wasn't introduced until Adam and Eve had committed sin? Now, another theory that you may have heard of is the idea of theistic evolution. And theistic evolution is that they add God to the evolutionary process. They believe that, there's various different beliefs and ideas that stem from theistic evolution, but the foundational thought is that God set in motion evolution and then kind of took his hands off and things just continue to evolve. Most would believe that the days of creation speak of millions of years and not six or actual literal days, which is, by the way, why we say six literal days, because of the idea of theistic evolution. They would suggest that when the Bible speaks of a day, like the day of the Lord, that it's speaking of a period of time. And so they would say that this is the first day or the second day. It's not speaking of a literal day, but it's speaking of a period of time. And they would say, well, it could be millions and millions of years, and that's why scientists have found these fossils that are millions and millions of years, and they try to harmonize it this way. And yet the Bible defines for itself what a day is. It says the evening and the morning was the first day. Now, remember this, that God didn't create this world in six literal days because he needed that much time. God could have created the world like that, everything. He's all-powerful. And also understand that God didn't rest on the seventh day because he was tired. But God is establishing a pattern for life. And this is what God does. This is how wonderful our God is. People will say, well, I don't understand how you could say it's a literal day, a 24-hour day, because there was no sun. God didn't create the sun until the fourth day. So how in the world could you say that it is an actual day if there's no sun? Well, remember in Genesis chapter 1, God steps out of eternity and defines time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Time is measured by humanity. It's measured by humanity, by stars and the moon and the sun. But God is the creator of time. And God properly and accurately defines it throughout creation. God establishes for us a pattern for living in the Genesis record. And when we look at the days of creation, the Bible quickly defines for us this 24-hour day. God is going to bring order to creation. And so God defines for us the morning and the evening is the first day. He defines what a day is. He doesn't need the sun. The sun is to mark the day, but God defines time because God is the creator of time. Remember, the book of Genesis wasn't written the day the world was created. Moses wrote it after, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And God, in the very beginning, defines what a day is to help us to understand that this is a literal 24-hour day. And we'll talk more about that as we go through the study. But we notice right away that God, the creator of all, is bringing order to his creation. God is a God of order. If we learn anything about God in the Genesis account of creation, is that God is a God of order. Cosmos, or cosmos, is an ordered system. The idea of cosmos is the Greek word for word. And the Bible teaches us that God is an ordered God. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, the Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." God is not the author of confusion. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, he says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." If we learn anything about God, it is that he's ordered. And God brings order to this world, this cosmos. It's not a chaos, it's a cosmos. And we note it in this passage of Scripture. So let's notice, if we could, letter A tonight, the first day. The first day. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." In the beginning, from the span of eternity, God created the earth and the heaven, the sky. And it's interesting and important for us to understand that when God created, he created from nothing. He spoke it into existence. In fact, the Hebrew word here for create is only used as God as the subject. In the beginning, God created. Only God can make something from nothing. In the beginning, God. We can build things. We can make things. We can create things. You know, I think that God has given us the ability to be creative because God is creative. He's a God of order, and we see his creativity in the world. I mean, the world is beautiful and wonderful. And so we can create things. We can add things together, take some materials, put it together. But we have to have something to make something else. We're just taking materials and putting it all together. At no time in our life can we make something or create with nothing. Only God can do that. And so the Bible says that God creates. God creates the heaven and the earth. God creates the earth and the sky. And yet we understand that this earth that he creates, in verse number 2 here, it's not ready for humanity. It's not ready for habitation. And so the Bible says here that it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The universe, at least its energy and mass, began to exist in some form as God created it. Now, remember last week we talked about John Ankerson and John Weldon. They point out that matter, time, and chance make up an evolution's holy trinity, that these three things is where they base their foundations, their pillars upon. And yet we look at that theory and we say, well, where did matter come from? Right? You know, well, it caused the Big Bang. What caused the Big Bang? Something had to begin. It doesn't explain the origins of everything or the beginnings of everything. There has to be a beginning to these things. And so that's why evolution, the Big Bang, it doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It's lunacy to begin really with step number 2, because they're skipping step number 1. They're saying all these gases and things, they formed a Big Bang. Well, where did all these gases and things come from? You're skipping to step number 2. Well, the Bible teaches us that all of it doesn't make sense because God made these things. God is the creator of this world. The world was without form and void. You know, when Jeremiah was considering the condition of Israel, and Israel had had turned away from the true God. They had turned to idolatry. And it broke Jeremiah's heart. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he's weeping over the condition of his people. And as Jeremiah is looking at this, at the condition of his people, the doom of Israel, he writes in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 19, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot make my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, and the sound of trumpet, the alarm of war. You know, Jeremiah is looking at the condition of his people and it's breaking his heart. The doom of his people is imminent, and Jeremiah is weeping and pain and sorrow. And then the Bible says here in chapter 4, verse 23 of Jeremiah, he quotes Genesis 1, 2. He says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light. That's how he describes the desolation of Israel. And this is the goal here. This is what God is describing for us. God had created all things, but it wasn't ready yet for humanity. You say, why is that important? Because that's the end goal of God. God created this world for humanity. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. God created this world for humanity. He says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. Henry Morris said this, the transcendent, omnipotent Godhead called into existence the space, mass, time, universe. The world here is expressed without form. It's void, and darkness is upon the face of the deep. The earth existent in a formless, barren state, surrounded in darkness and in water. But notice here in verse number 2, the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, it's interesting. The Hebrew word there for move means to brood. It's the idea of a hen putting her wings over her young. And the Bible says here that God is brooding over, or he's moving upon the face of this uninhabited earth. Now, by the way, this proves to us that theistic evolution isn't true. That God created the, you know, evolution, or set it in motion, and then took his hands off it and didn't care about it anymore. Because we notice here the Spirit's involvement in creation as the Spirit is moving upon the waters. And remember this, that creation is a Trinitarian work. Creation is a Trinitarian work. The Holy Spirit is active. And what I mean by Trinitarian is that the Godhead is working in creation. And we see that throughout the Bible. The Bible says, God says, let us make man. Why is it plural? Speaking of the Godhead here. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man. And so this is a Trinitarian work. And when I think of the new creation, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and we consider, you know, being born again, being a new creation in Christ Jesus, the work of our salvation is also a Trinitarian work. It also involves the Godhead. God the Father sent his only begotten Son, and the Son obeyed and went to a cross, and he died on the cross for our sins. And the Holy Spirit is at work, and the Holy Spirit's drawing us and leading us to the Lord Jesus. And so we see the Holy Spirit's work here in creation. Now, the very first day of creation is notable for one thing. What did God create that is really notable on the first day of creation? Anyone want to guess? Light. In the beginning, God created light. It says, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, when we think of light, Light is often used to illustrate the glory of God. In James chapter 1, verse 17, describing the God of heaven, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, of whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God is the source of all spiritual light. The Bible says that He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God is the source of all spiritual light. And darkness is illustrated in the Bible in the New Testament as the condition of our world today. And Jesus is the light. Jesus is truth. And Jesus has come to give light. The Bible says that they have rejected the Savior because they have hated the light. They love their sin. They hate the light. And so they have turned away from the Lord. The Bible says that God is the Father of lights. And He never casts a shadow, or He never stands in the shadows. The Bible says that God created light. And God said the light is good. You know, something interesting is the one who is uncreated light, created light. The one who is uncreated light creates light. And the light bearers, we know, are created on the fourth day. But God creates light in this passage of Scripture. Now, how this light is manifest, I have no idea. I don't know. Some various opinions are shared from different Bible scholars. Some believe that maybe it was a ball of glowing matter or embodied light. I have no idea, but the reality is God created light on the first day. And we simply are told that light existed. We are simply told that light existed because God told it to exist. That's incredible. We can talk about all of the various scientific ideas of light and what it is, and you know, in my research, I'm told that scientists really cannot understand completely the idea of light. Light is complex, and yet the Bible says that light exists because God told it to exist. Let there be light. The very idea of light, the Bible says there was light. God created light. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says this, "And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation." God says, listen, He created light. He called the darkness. He called it night. He called the daytime. He called the light day. And this is the motion that God set from the very beginning. You know, we wake up in the morning, and I don't think any of you are going to wake up thinking to yourself, is it going to be light outside today? You just know that the sun's going to be there, and you know that the sun is going to go down and the stars are going to show, or it's going to be darkness, because that's the motion that God set from the very beginning. That's how God designed it. That's how God created it. The Bible teaches us. And so the Bible teaches us that God created light. And listen, light is complex. It's hard to understand. I did some research about it, and it talks about light protons and the complexity of these light protons and the speed of light. It travels at 186,000 miles per second. Light is complex. But just because you don't understand it doesn't mean you can't enjoy it, right? Just because you don't understand the ins and outs of light and how it works, I don't understand how it all works, but I know God created it, and I know it's good. I know it's good. And so just because you don't understand something doesn't mean you can't enjoy it. The Bible says that He made it. He spoke light into existence. And the Bible says God said it is good. It's good because God is good. God is good. And God makes that which is good creation in its unfallen state was a picture of the goodness and the glory of God. And the word there, good, in the Hebrew, it just means desirable, beautiful, right. God said it is right, it is beautiful, it is desirable, it is good. And by the way, the first day, again, it's not some long evolutionary process. You know, the morning and the evening, they are the first day. God created all of these things in one 24-hour day. We get to a letter B here, the second day, in verse number 6. The Bible says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters that which are under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So here we find the new day begins. And as we pick up here on verse number 6, the earth is still covered with water. And someone has suggested that it's probably this liquid soup of elements. And the reality is there's no breathable air. There's no dry land. This earth is on a spear and it's hanging on nothing. And Job said in Job 26, verse 7, that he stretched out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He placed it on nothing. And so on day number 2, we notice God accomplishes again his work by speaking it into existence. And by the way, when we think of the Word, when in John chapter 1, when it says, "In the beginning was the Word," the reference there is Jesus, but it's speaking of the deity of Jesus, because of the Word represents the power and the authority of God from the creation story as he speaks this world into existence. And the Bible says that God divides the water that covered the earth, and he brings order to this earth, as the scripture says in verse 6, that the waters in the sky, when the apostle Paul was carried away to the third heaven, he says, "I was carried away to the third heaven." We think of the three heavens in the Bible. The first heaven, of course, is the sky where the clouds are. The second heaven would be outer space. And the third heaven would be the dwelling place of God. And so this is what we're talking about here, this first heaven, this atmospheric waters or the clouds or the water vapor. God is separating here this water. And so there's two sections here that is being noted in the Word of God. And God called the first firmament heaven. And the second, he called the body of water that was upon the earth. Now, something interesting is this firmament upon the that's in the sky. A lot of Bible, and I'm just throwing this out there, a lot of Bible scholars believe that through the days of Adam and Eve, the reason why people lived so long upon the earth was because they were living in almost a greenhouse idea, where there was this massive amount of water that encircled the earth. And this is what the Bible is talking about when it separates the firmament from the earth and to the sky. And so this water during the flood, when the Bible says the heavens were open, that all of this water came crashing down to the earth, and that was some of the mass of water that covered the entire earth during the flood in Noah's day. But the Bible teaches us here that the reality is that God is dividing here. The second division here was this body of water, the water in the sky, and the Bible says here, the water upon the earth. And now there's this expanse of breathable gases or air in between. And so God is creating here an earth for humanity. The waters above the firmament were contained in clouds, while the water below were in the surface, and the waters upon the earth. And the Bible says it was so. It was done. The work of God's hand was complete. And this moment that God created again, we see this is a 24-hour day, the evening and the morning were the first day. And then we come into the third day, and verse number 9, the Bible says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding fruit, and the fruit yielding, a tree yielding fruit after his kind, and whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day." We have light, we have the sea, the seas, and we have the sky. And yet we understand that this world is still not ready for humanity to live. My uncle is a fisherman, and I used to go fishing with him here and there. I have one problem, though. I get seasick quickly. I remember one time he asked me, he wanted me to go with him trawling. And what they would do is they would go out into the ocean, hours and hours on the boat, out into the ocean, and they would run a line, hooks baited, and they would run it. It's several meters long, and then they would just wait all night. You'd sit in the boat all night, and you would wait till morning, and then you would pull up that line. And I tell you, folks, if you've never done it, it's not a, well, if you like the water, then you'll really like it. Alan, if you cue the picture, this is not him, but I mean, this is what it looks like. I mean, you can't see anything. All you see is water. And I'll tell you a funny story is when he actually convinced me to go. He really wanted me to see what he did. And so I say, okay, I'll go. And we go off the wharf where the boat was docked. And we live kind of on an inland of a river, and then you go out the river, out into the ocean, and then you just keep on going out as far as you can to the ocean, and then you lay the trawl. Well, we left the wharf, and about 3 minutes off of the wharf, I was throwing up. I mean, I was so sick. I was so sick. And he looked at me and said, "We're not turning back now." I'm like, "But I can see the wharf still." Anyway, it was a long night. They got lots of fish, but all you could see is water. No land. I mean, it is both incredible and scary at the same time. I mean, you don't know what direction is back. It all looks the same. Of course, technology has really made navigation in the sea easier, but at the end of the day, it is just a frightening sight. And so this is what we have. We have the sky and we have the water, and we have the expanse in between. And now God is going to bring about land upon this earth. And it really is incredible when we think about how God does that. The Bible says that he speaks it into existence. Now, obviously, under the water of the earth, there is earth. And God brings about the land through the water. And when someone thinks about this, and you know, a naturalist or someone who doesn't have faith in God, when they consider the events of this, it really does throw them off. I mean, it doesn't make sense how this could ever take place. I mean, how can God bring about these, you know, the earth, these continents, or the earth, and how can God, you know, dry it off and in order to plant all of the vegetation as he did? You know, when someone looks at it from a natural approach, it just doesn't make sense. This is impossible. This could never happen in 24 hours. And I mean, from a naturalistic approach, without the use of supernatural power, the God of heaven, yeah, it is impossible. But you know what else was impossible? What else was impossible is when over 5,000 people needed to be fed, and Jesus took a boy's lunch, and he didn't catch any more fish, and he didn't grow any more fish, and he didn't bake any more bread, but the God of heaven just began to feed this multitude of people. That's impossible. I know, because that's what our God does. God does the impossible. He's the impossible working God. And this is really the creative work of Almighty God. And I hope that you believe in a miracle working God, because God is still in the miracle working business. On the first day, God divided the light and the darkness. On the second day, He divided the waters above and below. And on the third day, He divides the land and the sea. And the Bible says the land was covered with water. And God decrees that the water were gathered together. And the waters obey God. They obey God. And the Bible says that the waters are gathered together into one place. And the water is gathered together. And the land is instantly dry. Because that's what God does. He's the miracle working God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. All that water, theologians believe, fell from the earth and caused this great flood. And there are many that believe that when God created the dry land, that it was in fact one complete continent or one part of land, and through the flood that they all separated. I know that a lot of scientists believe that at one time the earth was one and separated. At the end of the day, the Bible does teach us here that God created all of these things. We notice in our scripture here that seas is plural. And so it might just mean here that all of the seas were connected together and all the continents were created just the way that they are now. At the end of the day, God made these things. God brought them to pass. God brought them to pass. The rivers, the lakes, you know, all the streams, all of this is created by Almighty God. And I mean, it's incredible to think about it. You know, when we look at these statements and we look at what the Bible says that God made the dry land, I mean, there's so much complexity to that. There's so many layers that God is putting together. That's not just, you know, one thing. I mean, that is so much that next He creates vegetation, and that vegetation is going to, that's going to root and grow and have the nutrients to be able to reproduce. All of that God did with just speaking it into existence. It's incredible. I'll close with this these verses here. In Job chapter 38, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou have understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who have stretched the line upon it? Where upon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God showed it for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors, when he brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb, when I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness and swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shall thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed.'" God spoke it all into existence, and it really is incredible. And we trust it by faith. You know, our world today is attacking, in the beginning, God. And we know that it is a worldview that they have rejected God. They want to live their life without God and do their own thing. And as I said at the very beginning of the message, it's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. And they have in their own heart said, no God for me. And we need to pray for people. We need to pray for people. We need to pray for our world. We need to pray that their eyes are open to see the truth. You know, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. God is not hidden in our world today. God is seen. But the Bible says they are willingly ignorant. You know what that means? It means they choose not to see what is right in front of them. And God help us to be wise and to be bold as we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and I pray you'd help us as